Morning, everybody. Morning. Intrepid few. Yeah, so well done, everybody. Welcome to St. Margaret's, our service of Holy Communion. Today is the second Sunday of Christmas, but we will be acknowledging the Feast of the Epiphany today. So as we sit, let's just be quiet to prepare ourselves for our worship. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, few we may be, but we can sing. So let's start with our first hymn this morning, which is 619, Ye Holy Angels Bright. We stand to sing. Love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I said, we're well into the Christmas season, so our four Advent candles and our Christmas candle are lit. And we make this prayer. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon us at this time. We who are so busy and seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel the darkness of our hearts. Let us turn to the light and confess our sins. God, our Father, you sent your Son full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy. May the God who loves the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect prayer for the Feast of the Epiphany. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the people on the earth, mercifully grant that we, who know you now by faith, may at last behold your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, we'll hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning to read at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 31, As With Gladness, Men of Old. Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you. This is the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We begin at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, and as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you afresh this morning, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. So here we are. As I said, it's the Feast of Epiphany, and during this brief season between Christmas and Lent, we leave shepherds, mangers, and swaddling clothes behind us. We now turn to stories of dazzling revelation. For today, Epiphany, we have wise men and stars. Next week, our readings bring doves and voices. Come back the week after that, and you'll get water and wine. In the Celtic tradition of Christianity, Epiphany stories are stories of what are often called thin places. These are places where the boundary between the mundane and the eternal becomes almost permeable. God pulls back the curtain, and we can catch glimpses of his love, his majesty, and his power. Epiphany calls us to look beneath and beyond the ordinary surfaces of our world, and discover the extraordinary. Epiphany calls us to look deeply at Jesus, and in doing so, to see God. But there's a problem here, isn't there? How many of us can say that they've discovered a portentous star rising in the east? How many of us can say that they've seen the Spirit descend like a dove or heard a divine voice in the clouds? How many of us have watched water turn into wine or seen Jesus' clothes blaze white on a mountaintop? I suppose that many of us, if not all of us, have professed belief in a self-revealing God for most of our lives. But how many of us have experienced him in any of the ways that the Epiphany stories actually describe? Are we just a people walking in darkness? Our experience might be unique, but I doubt it. I don't know many 21st century Christians who bask in signs and wonders, who complain that God talks to them too much, or that God butts into their lives far too often. But I know plenty of believers who experience God as hidden and silent. And these are faithful people. They're faithful people who long for an epiphany, not just for a season, but for lifetimes. So where does that leave us? Is this all God's fault, or is it ours? If any of this leads you to think that there are first class, second class, or even third class Christians, then put that thought immediately from your head. Nothing could be further from the truth. But we'll come a bit more to that later. So back in Isaiah's time, as we heard earlier, the Israelites were in much the same position as that. They were feeling decidedly second class, and maybe even third class, in the eyes of a silent God whom they thought had abandoned them. However, none of that was true for the prophet Isaiah. Those amazingly beautiful lyrical verses that we heard this morning are full of joyful anticipation. "Arise, shine," he said. Wherever we are today as individuals, just think about what it was like for the Israelites that Isaiah was writing to back then. They'd been in exile for generations, and they were facing a homecoming to a Jerusalem that had been completely devastated and was in ruins. What I think comes through clearly in these verses is the depth and the longing of those Israelites. Their once proud city had been reduced to rubble, and what rebuilding that had taken place had been slow and difficult. As I talked about, a thick darkness of depression and hopelessness. But then, out of all that, the glory of the Lord blazes out. Now the people who had been toiling away listlessly can see. And what a sight it is. The lonely and beaten inhabitants suddenly see again that this is indeed a place that God loves, and that they are not alone and they are not abandoned. And as for me, this is an image I would far rather start the new year with than the doom and the gloom which is so often predicted. Isaiah talks about the Lord's glory appearing over us if only we are prepared to see. And for today, and hopefully for the rest of the year as well, I'm just happy to go with that. Then there's our passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In verse 10, we hear that the Christian church is to be used to show the whole world what Paul describes as the wisdom of God. It's not true of everyone, of course, but many have now have got used to thinking of that church that Paul describes as a kind of tolerated, slightly senile old relative. We wouldn't dream of getting rid of it, but we really can't expect much from it. Paul's letter, on the other hand, describes the church as the major player in the cosmos. And we've just spent the last few weeks immersed in the nativity and the truth of Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. The good news that God chooses humanity. God is on our side and will travel with us throughout history. We haven't been left on our own or left to our own devices. We haven't been left without meaning to our lives or directions to travel. We have choices, we have hope, and we have that because God chooses to identify with us. God chooses to be with us throughout our journey of faith and life. That is exactly what Emmanuel means. Christian faith and living challenges many of the unsettling, individualistic assumptions of the world in which we find ourselves. In the face of contemporary isolation and loneliness, God offers community and family in the broadest sense of those words. Through God's lavish grace, we have an opportunity for a new beginning, not muddling along on our own, but as Paul told the Ephesians, walking in fellowship with all the people of the earth, and therefore with Jesus himself. Paul propels us to catch a wider vision of God's purpose. The whole world is God's parish, And our mission must always be outward. That's why the church's current vision for growth is so important, and why the church has to be a major player in all that is and ever will be. And if ever it stops looking inward at itself, we have every hope that that will happen. The great gift of this Feast of Epiphany is to make the forgiving, healing and unifying God, love of God, known through both our words and our example. And we're not going to be able to do that if we're sinking under the misconception that God is too quiet and not really bothered with me, or that we are not just good enough. And then what about our gospel reading? Seems to me that so far as the wise men were concerned, the gifts that they brought were quite simply the highest expressions of reverence that they could offer. They had nothing better. And therein, I think, is another challenge for us today. In terms of time, money and effort, do we offer God our very best? Or do we make do with what we can afford? Do we bring the first fruits of our lives, or just the leftovers? Today, will we let God into the edges of what we do, or into the centre? So listen to the whole story, is what it seems to me that Matthew is saying. Think about what it meant for Jesus to be the true King of the Jews, and then come to him by whatever route you can, and bring the very best gifts that you can find. That is the perfect antidote to any thought of being second best. So what should we make of all this? The sense of light in the darkness, hope in the midst of despair, is not just a nice thought for a dull and dreary January morning as Christmas celebrations begin to fade, and thoughts turn perhaps to how long before payday or everything that's happening in the world right now. This is everything, and it's the hope that we and our world needs to hear, the light that we and our world needs to see. The promises in today's Bible passages are not simply nice words to a suffering people. They are the unfathomable gift of God's mercy and God's grace. Going after and bringing home the people who walked themselves away and into danger. And it's against that backdrop that we should hear these words of Scripture. Words that invite us to join in God's work to heal and to restore all that has been damaged and broken by sin. To be a redemptive culture maker who proclaims the good news of Jesus' rules and reign through our own words and actions. And in doing so, we participate in and we will become evidence of the work of our Saviour, who was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free. It is a huge privilege. It is a huge responsibility, and there's absolutely nothing second class about any of that. Amen. Would you please stand? So before God and each other, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. If you'd like to sit or kneel, Deborah will lead us in our intercessions.
In him and through faith in him, we should approach God with freedom and confidence. Lord, we have heard this morning how the wise men, trusting in Scripture, were willing to accept the miracle of Jesus' birth and commit to a journey full of danger and uncertainty in order to worship him and bring him their costliest gifts. Help us to mirror their devotion. At a time of year when resolutions are made and broken again as quickly, may we hold fast to our faith and offer you the gift of ourselves, our love and worship, trusting that you have called us to do your will and to share in your gift of salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world, so fragile in the grip of hatred, conflict, and disaster brought about by our mismanagement. Lord, we can only turn to you in prayer to renew a right spirit in the powerful and humanity in their choices. Give them wisdom and courage to stand up for what is right. Comfort those brought low by happenings beyond their control. Be with them in their darkest hour, and give them hope that they may, through you, seek to rebuild their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church throughout the world at national and local level. Guide those tasked with central leadership to do so in your name only, setting aside all personal aspirations. We pray for your blessing upon our ministry team here in the United Benefice and all those who contribute in any way to your service in the life of our churches. We pray that those who attended the Christmas services, perhaps for the first time, will be touched by your presence in their lives and give us all a fresh energy as we return to work, school, and activities after the Christmas break. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We now turn our thoughts to those in need of your healing touch, those who have nothing, those in pain, the lonely, the worried, the depressed. Christmas can heighten the stark contrast of those who stand outside the joy and warmth of the season. Lord, you came to us in poor and oppressed circumstances. Help us to reach beyond our own situations and to share our time and compassion with those who need it. In a short moment of silence, we name anyone who is on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we hold out those loved ones who have died in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. We thank you for their lives among us. Shield those of us who are left from the pain of grief and help us to know the comfort that is your infinite love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear
our prayer.
Be with us all, Lord. Let us meet you in dark and bright times alike, and send your Holy Spirit upon us, so that we, in turn, can bring light to others in your name. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? As we move into the liturgy of the sacrament, time now for the peace. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. We stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 1583, We Have a Gospel to Proclaim.
Thank you.
Word made flesh, life of the world, in your incarnation you embraced our poverty by your Spirit. May we share in your riches. Amen. We sit or kneel for our prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honour be yours, always and everywhere. Mighty Creator, ever-living God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who for love of our fallen race humbled himself and was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of your Spirit and lived as one of us. In this mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused his light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In him we see our God made visible, and so are caught up in the love of the God we cannot see. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name and sing our joyful hymn of praise as we say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send your Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The blood of Christ, a gift from heaven. Lord God, the bright splendour whom the nations seek, may we who with the wise men have been drawn by your light, discern the glory of your presence in your Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's stand and we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 21, And Can It Be? And finally, as we go to our homes with this blessing, hear these words written by Paul to the church at Ephesus, words which are especially appropriate for us at the beginning of a new year. Paul said this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us all and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.